has the loop that gives me a way to trace it back. So whatever your exploit is, it's either open loop or there's some covert way that you're closing the loop through some published mailing list, through some other activity that you're performing through some other intermediary. So this open loop issue is fairly interesting. It tends to bypass attacker-specific defenses. So anything you do to cut off this site or that site because they've been bad to you is bypassed by this. So that sort of nullifies that class of defenses. It consumes limited protective resources. I mean, if you're manually responding to these things, if you don't have automation to do this, then it's going to consume all your incident response capability, and then you won't be able to see the other stuff they're doing. So you have to be careful about that. There's the perception management and deception aspects of it. Systems and protections fail under stress, and DCAs tend to stress them. There are some enabling technologies for DCAs, and I guess we can get rid of these then, right? There's like networking, remote execution, and open access. Gopher, Web, Java, PostScript, we could just wipe those out, that would help. That old uncontrolled internet environment, new services and arbitrary ports with inadequate definition or notification create all this noise and all this stuff you can't. What is that thing coming in? You know, in my system, every packet gets checked, and if it's a packet I don't know what it is, I'm going to check it out. And that makes it inconvenient. I mean, and then people have very bizarre configurations that they create to harass you. And like this. Then you got your insecure ISPs out there that, you know, this makes this target-rich intermediary environment not only the endpoints, but the ISPs themselves, which means that it's easy to forge addresses and doing all sorts of nasty things. And then there's other DC programs, intelligent agents, net crawlers, and virus-like things, distributed computational programs that are not attacked. And there's a tendency to not know where that edge is. And the technology is being created. So now I'd like to summarize here by having you summarize what you've heard. Anybody want to give me the one sentence summary? I don't think I want to record that, but. You get the idea. So your jobs are secure. How do you prevent, detect, and track these things down? That's why you stayed, presumably. Prevention, all you have to do is disable those enabling technologies so we can forget that. You can eliminate all those vulnerable intermediaries. No way to do that either. Another technique is to use private internet. And this is increasingly used in industry. You have limitations on sources and protocols, additional authentication, far easier to track things to the source. So, for example, if you're in the automotive business, they may have a private automotive internet that they run. And that, so you can't launch a DCA in that internet from the outside internet. So they don't particularly care if you attack the greater internet and you're coming at their firewall, as long as their firewall doesn't collapse, because they're still doing their business. Okay, that works. How do you detect these things? Well, if it's one of these more obvious ones, you get this sort of dramatic increase in events. Typical of naive attacks and deception, reflective control can be used to increase the thresholds, coordinated attacks, the thing to do is get coordinated defenses. And the zero tolerance detection strategy is one way to address this, and that every event is important. It can tend to lead to resource exhaustion if you're not careful. And you need some automated response. You certainly can't go zero tolerance in today's internet with manual response. So you create automation, and then you understand that if your automation goes too far, you're going to exhaust resources, so you have to control it. But to treat every event is important. And then another one is cross-matching audit trails. It coordinates analysis from different sources. And There are some example results available on the web. Actually, there's another address to look at now, which is cc31.ca.sandia.gov. Or send me an email and I'll tell you the address. How do you track these things down? Well, we started with the zero tolerance approach and automated real-time responses. It turns out if we sent mail to systems administrator of every intermediary site, that about 1 in 125 responded with something useful, typically an audit trail of the events surrounding that time. For the ones that had good firewalls with good audit trails, and since this, the response was sent in real time, indicating what time this thing happened, okay, they could go back, subject to time differentials, look at their audit trails and capture a window around that region and find out there was an outbound telnet. Talk to their user, find out the user said, I didn't do anything, I was just cruising the web. Look at their audit trails, say, yes, my user was cruising the web. Here are the web locations they went to. Okay? So what we did was we correlated that between a couple of these, and we said, oh, there are some commonalities. We found the commonalities, we looked at their sites, and we found the source code to this attack sitting on the website. And that's how we tracked them down. So essentially, it's a cross-match of audit trails from remote sites. So one intermediary, we figured that at 1 in 125 sites, at the rate that we were getting things, it was 4 hours mean time to track them down. Okay? 4 hours of that. Now, if there were two intermediaries, that is, if they went through two hops and he took the same scenario, you would get 31-plus days to track them down. Okay? So if it's enough multiple hops, the correlation of audit trails, when you don't have many intermediaries participating, starts to take a long time. It's not so easy to launch a 15-hop DCA, but if you could succeed in it, it's a lot harder to track you down. This is the multi-hop cross-matching. You have a victim and an intermediary. You take their audit trails, you cross-match them. You get some set of other places that it might have come from. You contact all of them with a similar set of information. You get their audit trails, which you cross-correlate with the previous intermediary's audit trail, and that gets you back to the attacker. Yeah? When you go to the intermediaries and ask for log files, are they pretty open? Well, 1 in 125 is willing to send you this. Now, I mean, my name and site is fairly well known, and people can check you out and like that. But if Joe Hacker tries and asks for this information with enough detail about what they think happened, they might get the information. All the people that sent me logs, I think because my site was listed in their logs as a place that was telneted to. So they had correlating information to back that up. And that was some sort of a justification probably to them. There's privacy issues. There's all sorts of if you tried to do this through normal legal means, you would never track these guys down. I mean, this is an instant response system. I don't know of a legal mechanism to do this unless you have an attack that's sustained over a long period of time, and then you take a lot of damage. You know, the legal system is not set up for that. Systems administrators have a tendency to cooperate with each other to a point. If you go to the Netherlands, you will get no cooperation. Okay, the only thing that got me cooperation in the Netherlands was saying, either you cooperate or I'm going to prevent users at your site from visiting my site. And since they view access philosophically as important, they're willing to help you a little bit in order to have their users have that access. But there's this negotiation on an individual basis sometimes. But in a volume, large volume situation, 1 in 125 respond usefully. The others, you can't chase them all down. In the back, yes. The question was, how long do intermediaries keep logs to be able to track these events when they come over a very long period of time? The answer, in my experience, is that very few people keep logs past the last couple of weeks or months. And when they keep logs for that period of time, at those select sites that do, they tend to be less thorough. Right? Those only keep one class of logs, not the detailed logs. So tracing back through multiple intermediaries in these slow, long-term attacks is essentially impossible. I mean, it takes years to do it. It's sufficient for my purposes to identify that it's going on. Yes? How long do I keep logs? Forever. I have logs from the 70s. I have programs that occasionally cross-correlate logs over substantial periods of time. In the 70s, I wasn't even using the same kind of computer, and I don't think the same people were attacking me. But they may have been, I don't know. But generally there is no limit to how much time and effort I'm willing to spend to catch somebody. I don't like to waste my time, so I write a lot of automation to catch them for me. And it's real embarrassing. People send you mail saying, see, there's this campaign to stop this zero-tolerance approach by the people that get caught or the people that feel they want others to be able to hack into systems. And so what they do is they try and convince you through various means to stop it. So, for example, I got an email from somebody saying, I accidentally said all.net instead of AOL.net to come into your site, and I got this nasty message. I think this policy is ridiculous. So I went into my log cross-correlator and produced within about 2 minutes a responding email that said in essence, I appreciate your opinion, but the facts do not support your case. You browse into my site here at this 4 hours, 3 minutes, and 27 seconds, and 14 seconds later, you went to the article on DCA, and you read the page about ongoing ones, and you read about other people's email and how I had responded to them, and then you telneted in, and I sent you this thing, and then you sent me this email. So don't give me this baloney. You did this to generate the response so you could complain, and in that case, of course, they don't ever come back and complain again. They just say, oh, got caught, So for the most part, that's the kind of stuff you encounter. Some other properties of DCAs, there's the indirection of the link between the attacker and target, which means the tracking requires inter-site coordination. You just cannot do it alone. It has to be a community approach. The high attack rate with a low contribution per site. Okay, each intermediary may have only one instance. And intermediaries are almost always unaware. In fact, in several cases, my automatic email generated something from the systems administrator saying, why are you bothering me about one lousy telnet from my site? And I said, well, I thought you'd like to be aware. I'm sorry. And then 3 days later, I get something back that says, thanks for sending me that email. I found out somebody had broken into my site and taken over all these accounts, and now it's fixed. I appreciate it. I'm sorry I was so mean to you. So, you get all sorts of responses. It's a very strange world. Tracking is exponential with the number of hops until you exhaust the space of all the internet sites, which turns out to be about 3 hops. So it gets real bad real quick, and then you have to track through the whole internet, which I am willing to do. In case you have the intent of going 3 hops to attack me, let it be known, I will go trace back the entire internet if I have to find you. The most DCAs so far have been open loop, but closed loop appears to be feasible, for example, with Java and other similar general purpose functions. And, of course, closing that loop might lead back to the attacker. So please close the loop, and then I'm going to get you more directly. There are theoretical limits. Without strong integrity, with increased networking, DCAs are essentially unstoppable. There's no way to prevent. Tracking to the source quickly becomes very hard, searching the whole world. And without some sort of traceability, like source authentication or something like that, things get bad very fast. This is one of the reasons I've been pushing very hard at the internet people and the ATM people to provide traceability to their networks, which is not available today except through, nasty things like taking down all the intermediary computers along the way to find out, it's a suppression technique. And I will take down 50% of the world's ATM networks at a time to track down the source of an attack if I have to, but I'd much rather you put in a little teeny hook so I can trace things through your network. But you won't stop me by not doing that. You'll only stop everybody else from getting work done. Networking and vulnerabilities are what lead to DCAs, and of course networking and vulnerabilities are both increasing rapidly.
What's the context for the word integrity?
Well, there are a variety of different descriptions of integrity, from source integrity to verifying that things have not changed, to correspondence with reality. In this particular case, the integrity I'm talking about is source integrity, being able to uniquely and appropriately define the human individual associated with cause and effect. You ask, what's likely to happen with DCAs? This is my curve of what's likely to happen. This is a number of cases. Oh, probably, you know, around 2002 or 2003, you'll get a, you know, everybody that's going to do this will know how to do it, and they'll be doing it on whatever regularity they want to do it, and nobody else will bother to try. This corresponds roughly to the virus situation. Number of victims will probably keep going up, but you know, it's one of these things where if it catches on, it gets exponential for a while, but then everybody that's going to try it tried it, and it sort of levels out. And then, of course, the number of intermediaries times 1,000. I mean, everybody that does this uses thousands of intermediaries, potentially. So it's a question of liability. Are you liable if you're an intermediary? Just love to scare corporations that way, huh? I think if you're an unknowing intermediary, you may not be liable. But unless you didn't take due diligence, whatever that is. The question is whether an audit capability would be a required part of due diligence, and it's not clear. I mean, the whole concept of due diligence is not really well defined. You know, ANSI standards by the American Banking Association is sort of defined, but come in. Is that a fire alarm?
Can I have your attention, please?
Okay, pyromaniacs, start your fires now. Right, I started a fire, then I sent out the message. Started at noon on the third Wednesday of the month, or whatever it is. Enabling tech, did I answer your question? Due diligence. Okay, so there's another issue. I mean, if you keep good audit trails, that's very beneficial in a lot of ways. Not only from being able to show due diligence, of course, if you're doing something evil, then that means you'll probably get caught, but hopefully we're only good guys doing good things, and we want to catch the bad guys doing bad things. But also, if you're regularly keeping these things, then they're normal business records, and they get into court cases, at least in the U.S., through a hearsay exception. Whereas if you turn on the record for this special event, it's probably not admissible in court. So there's some real advantages legally in being able to prosecute people and being able to, not only in criminal prosecution, but in civil litigation, being able to prove things based on having regular business records that audit all sorts of behavior. So there are advantages to it. There are costs. Disrespect. Enabling technologies. New vulnerabilities are increasing with time. Intermediaries are increasing with time. Connectivity is increasing with time. Network-based access is increasing with time. Remote and travel and computing is increasing with time. Home-based businesses and computing are increasing with time. Telecommuting and trust distribution and virtual businesses and the constant workflow. These are all things that are enabling these sorts of attacks to take place that are increasing with time. And it is the way the world's going. I mean, I don't think the world's going to reverse itself. This is the future that we have to live in. Summary, DCAs are here to stay, I think. Things will get worse. They may never get better. They'll be very good IW weapons. Defenses at the NII level will be critical to national defense and success, I believe. Audit trails are the best hope for tracking these things down. The need to cross-correlate audit trails may lead to substantial legal challenges. And please don't forget to fill out your course evaluation form and have a great day. And any questions, as long as they're short, because I have a meeting to get to, my car. Yes, sir? The question is, has the PostScript interpreter problem been fixed? There are PostScript interpreters that allow you to disable many of those functions. I think GhostScript has a disable switch that you can put in. You can compile them that way. But in general, PostScript interpreters are general purpose mechanisms. You can also exploit that. Printers that have PostScript are also that way. If you have a network printer, that might be exploited to go and attack the rest of your network, maybe not even in a DCA. So that's an important issue to address independent of this issue. Does that answer? Yeah. Yes, sir. The question is, there are anonymizing sites on the network, and how do we deal with anonymizing sites? That's a short version of your question. There are a couple of issues. One of them is, how many are there, which is a question you asked. There aren't that many of them, it turns out. If you come with legal papers, the history shows that you win. You'll get them to turn off their site or to give you the log files or, you know, maybe get them in jail for a while for defying court orders or what have you. Are there ways to trace through that? Yes. Are they nice? No. Okay? The best way, I don't want to get into details of how you trace through it. In terms of correlating things in a DCA, if somebody's going to an anonymizing site, that's a single point. Okay, if I've identified that that's where the DCA is coming from, I can shut it down effectively, okay, through various means. Now, it doesn't take me back to the original perpetrator, okay? Getting back to the perpetrator is a little bit harder. You know, you need pressure on the guy that runs the site, et cetera. Because usually people running anonymizing sites, whereas they don't mind supporting a few attacks here and there, if it's going to cause them trouble, they'll get out of the way. Okay, and then, of course, if it's a serious attack, then the FBI can go and put a phone safe on both sides and go find them, you know, but not for a short-term bursty sort of thing. Of course, that doesn't do that much damage either. Yes, ma'am? The question is, what kinds of utilities do you need to track things like this? In my experience, a really skilled defender has all the tools they need. They've built them or they will build them. They're not hard to build. I mean, I use Perl and shell scripts and commonly available software. Occasionally, I have to write a C program for something tricky and special, but rarely. Buying tools is useful if you're not somebody that sits there and builds tools. So to the extent that they have tools that do something that you like to do, that's useful, but you're going to have to customize them for each special case, one way or the other, if you're going to be really effective. And so I told you half the part. Half of it is a skilled defender, you know, you plop me onto a system somewhere, and you're in big trouble, and I'll go fix it. And it doesn't matter what tools you give me, I'll make them or find them or what have you. A less skilled defender, it doesn't matter if you give him super rocket science tools, you can't use them effectively. So it's really the skill of the defender, not the tools. More questions? Great. I'll go get in my car and make my meeting. Thank you.
That can